Are you surprised the pastor is not here, that I'm up here tonight? I am. We got a call about 5 o'clock this evening and said, could you fill in for me tonight? And I said, yes, sir, I'd be happy to do that. So I didn't have much time to prepare tonight, but we're going to do the best we can. And I may require your help as we do this tonight. So you be willing to help me?
Amen, sir.
All right. I'm sorry the pastor is not here. We need to be in prayer for him that he'll be well soon. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter number 3. The Gospel of John, chapter number 3. And we're going to read the first 7 verses in chapter number 3. If you would stand with me as we read them together, beginning with verse 1. John 3, beginning with verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us now in these next few minutes. Help me, Lord, to give to you my undivided attention. And help these dear people, Lord, to give to you their undivided attention. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight and give us a truth that we can take from this place that would change us, that would transform us, to help us to be more like thee. And may we leave here better for having been here tonight is our prayer. May your Son be glorified in all that's said and done here, even now in this message. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. Now that tells us several things about Nicodemus. Number one, he was a very religious man. Number two, he was a very rich man. We know that because he was a ruler. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. And in order to be a member of that body, he had to be a very affluent man. So he's a very rich man. He's a very religious man. He's a very well educated man, because we learn later in this chapter he was a Bible teacher. He taught the Bible. But here in chapter 3, he comes to Jesus knowing that Jesus is a man come from God. And he comes with a question. Now, the question isn't expressed in this passage of Scripture, but the answer is told. The answer is this: except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That means he cannot experience the kingdom of God. Ye must be born again. That word must is an important word. What it means is, to put it simply, is there is no other way. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He had to go to the cross to pay for man's sin because there was no other way. Ye must be born again. Now, if that is a requirement, and according to the Bible, it is an absolute requirement that a man be born again, then it's imperative that you and I be born again if we want to go to heaven. The question then becomes, have you been born again? If you haven't, then you need to be. But that's not what I want to address tonight. What I want to address tonight is this. What does it mean to be born again? What does that term mean? What does it mean to you?
Be different.
To be different? Anybody else have a definition they'd like to offer for being born again? A new family. You mean you become a part of a new family. Okay.
Spiritual new birth.
Spiritual new birth. Okay. A new nature. Okay. Except a man be born again. Well, let's look at the term born for a minute. We hear all the time words mean something. Amen. That word born means something. And here's what that word means. Something comes into existence that did not previously exist. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That means a brand new creature, a creature that did not previously exist. So, if a person must be born again in order to get to heaven, how does one get born again? How does that happen? Well, we have to go to the Bible to find the answer, don't we? So, if you have your Bibles and you'd like to look at the verse, turn with me to 1 John. 1 John, chapter 5. 1 John, chapter 5. And look with me, if you would, at verse 1. 1 John, chapter 5, verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whosoever what? What's the one condition? That you believe. And when do you become born of God? The moment in which you believe, because whosoever believeth is born of God. So the very moment I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, I become born again. I become a member of His family. I become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
That is an event. It's not a process. I'm not becoming a child of God. I am one. I am not becoming born again. I have been born again. I was born again the moment I got saved. I was saved when I was 8 years old. We had two boys this morning that came for baptism. They're both 8 years old. I was 8 years old when I was saved. My family was not a church-going family till I was six. Mom and Dad got saved when I was six and started going to church. When I was eight, I trusted Christ as my Savior. Now, when I was 12 or 13 years old, the pastor of our church left. And when the pastor of our church left, my mom and dad, they left. They quit going to church and never went to church again. I have a brother and sister. When they quit going to church, when mom and dad quit going to church, they quit going to church. But I was the oldest of the three children. And I was, like I said, 12 or 13 years old. And when they quit going to church, I wanted to go to church. And I had a great aunt and uncle who lived about 4 or 5 miles from me. And I got on the phone and I called them and I said, would you take me to church with you? Now, they didn't go to the same church, but they went to a good Baptist church. And I said, would you take me with you? And so beginning that day, that Sunday, and every Sunday after that, they would pick me up and take me to church until I was old enough to drive myself. The point I'm trying to make is this. Nobody had to encourage me to go to church. In fact, there was nobody to encourage me to go to church. I went to church because I wanted to go to church. I went to church because I wanted to be with God's people. I went to church because I wanted to learn the Bible. I went to church because I wanted to be a better Christian. There was something in me that desired the things of God. That something came into being the moment I trusted Christ as my Savior. I think of another verse of Scripture. You know, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And then verse 12 said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then the Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that what? Believe on His name. The word believe means to trust in, to rely upon, to put your confidence in Jesus Christ. And we've talked about this before. The only way I can put confidence in Jesus Christ is to put confidence in His Word. Because that's the only way I know that what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary was sufficient for my need. I know it because the Bible says so. I know Jesus is the Son of God because the Bible says so. Everything I know about God, I know because the Bible says so. So salvation comes through believing the Bible. Now, I don't believe the Bible because I agree with what it says. I believe the Bible because God said it. It doesn't matter whether I agree with it or not. I still believe it because God said it. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were, what's the next word? Born. Born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The moment I got saved, I was born into His family as one of His children. That's important. I was born into His family. Why is that important? Well, here's why. I have blue eyes. I have blue eyes because my mother had blue eyes. I don't have any hair up here. Did you notice that? There's no hair up here. Do you know why? My dad didn't have any. My granddad didn't have any. And I don't have any because it was genetically determined. Are you with me? When I got saved, who I am genetically changed. Before I got saved, my genetics was determined by my human parents. I inherited their nature. But when I got saved, I had a new father. We pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." He is my Father. I am His Son. I am His child. I inherited His nature. His nature became mine. If you're saved tonight, His nature became yours. The Bible says it like this: we are partakers or sharers of the divine nature, of His nature. That's why I picked up the phone and called my great aunt and uncle and asked them if I could have a ride to church. That's why Zacchaeus returned fourfold for everything he'd taken wrongfully. That's why Saul, on the road to Damascus, ceased being a persecutor of Christianity and became a preacher of Christianity. His nature was changed. When I got saved, my nature was changed. And when you got saved, if you're saved tonight, your nature was changed. You're here tonight because your nature was changed. When you get saved, nobody has to encourage you to go to church. You want to be there. I want to be here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Do you know why I want to be here? Because I want to see all your smiling faces. And the rest of those faces too. No, that's not the real reason. You know what the real reason is? He's here. He's here. I want to be where He is. Yes, but preacher, isn't He with you all the time? Yes. But He's with me in a special way at church. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. My point is, We spend a lot of time trying to encourage folks to go to church or to read their Bible or to pray or to go soul winning. We shouldn't have to do that. It's born in us. It's our nature. It's who we are. If it's not who we are, then it should be, and we need to change some things. Paul wrote the book of Romans. And we're going to study the book of Romans here in a little bit, because the book of Romans teaches us the gospel message that Paul preached on his three missionary journeys. What was his gospel message? We're going to learn that. But if we go to Romans chapter 1 and read the introduction, when they would write a letter back in those days, they would begin the letter by introducing themselves, who they are, and secondly, identify to whom the letter is being sent. So Paul begins the letter to the Romans this way. Paul means little one in the Greek language. Paul, a servant. Paul says, I want you to know right now that what I am above everything else is a servant. I'm not an apostle. I'm a servant. I'm just a little fellow. A servant. And not any servant. You know, there were two servants identified and defined in the Old Testament in the Jewish economy. One was a servant who became a servant for 6 years, and at the end of 6 years, he went out a free man. That was a normal servant or slave, if you will, in the Old Testament. But there was another type of slave, and that was called a bond slave. Now, a bond slave was a slave who, at the end of his 6 years, when he was free to go out as a free man, decided he didn't want to go out and become a free man. He wanted to continue to serve his master. In fact, let's go there and read that just for a second. Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. And it's a few verses. Let's start with verse 1. Exodus 21, verse 1. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve. And in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. Now look at verse 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free. I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. That's a bond slave. That's what Paul says he is in Romans chapter 1, a bond slave. When you become his servant, you're not his servant until you decide you don't want to be anymore. When you become his servant, you're his servant for how long?
Forever.
Paul says that's who I am, a bond slave. To whom? Of Jesus Christ. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. When did he become a servant of Jesus Christ? The moment he got saved, exactly. You remember on the road to Damascus, he said, Lord, who art thou? And he said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. And then Paul responded, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? What do you want me to do? In other words, Lord, here I am. I'm available to do whatever you want me to do. Just tell me. That's the role of a bond slave. Now, what does that have to do with you and me? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, this is a person who's saved. Once saved, what?
Always
saved. Does that mean after I get saved, I can do whatever I want to and I'll still be saved? Well, it all depends. I say yes. When I got saved, I got a new want to. Didn't you?
Amen.
Huh? The things I used to want to do, I don't want to do anymore. And the things I didn't used to care about, those are the very things now I want to do. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. So I do exactly what I want to do. I'm here tonight because I want to be here. And you're here tonight because you want to be here. I'm here tonight because he wants me to be here. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. He wants me here. I am his servant, so I'm going to be here. Amen. Are you with me? That's what a servant does. He does what his master commands. He doesn't debate it. He doesn't question it. He simply obeys it. That's a servant. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? When I got saved, I died to sin. That's what that verse says. Now, before we go any further, my flesh didn't die. I still have this same flesh. But that flesh isn't me. Remember in John chapter 3, we read that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Spirit. When I got saved, I was born of the Spirit. So what am I? Spirit. That make sense? Some of you stare at me like you're looking at a cow staring at a new gate. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become brand new. You all know the story of my grandfather. I've told you that story. A drunken alcoholic who one night found Christ and never touched another drop of alcohol in his life. Within a year, he was out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and preached it for the rest of his life. Why? He was a new creature. He'd been changed. Know ye not, verse 3, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. When we get baptized, we go under the water. That's a picture of a burial. The burial of Jesus Christ and also the burial of the old man. He's dead. When you come up out of the water, that man is alive. But that man is a new creature. It's not the same man that went under the water. It's a new man. That's the picture here. A baptism doesn't save you, but it pictures what happened when you got saved. The old man died, and now there's a new man alive to serve Christ, to be his servant. His bond slave, if you will. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. The body, that's this, that's the flesh. Might be destroyed. What does that word destroyed mean here? It means he's not allowed to assert his influence. Paul said it like this, I bring my body into subjection. I die daily. He's talking about this. The flesh. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We're not the servant of sin anymore. We're now the servant of righteousness, the servant of Christ. Our ownership has changed. What? Know ye not that ye are not your own? For ye are what? Bought with a price. I belong to him. If you're saved tonight, you belong to him. Your time is not yours to decide what you're going to do with your time. It's his time. Your money doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. Not 10%, all of it. Aren't you glad you came tonight?
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm glad I came tonight. All right? Your talent is not yours.
Right.
It belongs to Him. And we ought to use it for Him. My dad was a singer and a guitar player, and he played in bars. He actually played with Roy Rogers. Some of you know who Roy Rogers was. Some of you might know. You young folks probably don't know who he is, but he was a cowboy singer. But he grew up in the same area my dad grew up in. And they played in the same band. But my dad got saved. And when he got saved, he put away his guitar. I said, Dad, you shouldn't do that. If you could use that guitar for the devil, certainly you ought to be willing to use it for the Lord. It's His. But he never did. Our talent belongs to Him. Our time belongs to Him. Our money belongs to Him. All that we have belongs to Him. Most of you don't know who John Rice is, but he used to tell the story like this. God wants the dollar that's in your billfold. God wants the billfold that holds the dollar. God wants the pants that holds the billfold. And then he said, God wants the man that's in the pants. That's who God wants. We're His. Verse 7, for he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also, what? Live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, never to die again. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign. Let not sin. So who's in control of this? God or me? He's commanded me to what? Don't let sin reign. So that's my responsibility. Right?
Amen.
Let not sin therefore reign where? If it rains, it's going to rain in your body because that's the only place where it dwells. It's in your flesh. Don't let it. In other words, I have control over it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members. What are your members? Your hands, your feet, your tongue, your eyes, your ears, your body parts. Those are your members. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Surrender yourselves to God. In other words, put yourself where? Under His authority. That's who we are. We're His servants. So whom should we obey? Him. Not sin, Him. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your instruments, your members as instruments, of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Boy, I like that. Sin cannot rule over me. Because I have Him. and greater is he. I saw a sign on the back glass of a car this morning as we were driving home from church. It said, he, and then it had one of these signs. Greater than? He was in capital letters, then the greater than sign, and then I was in small letters. He is greater than I. That should be the way we think. That should be the way we live. He is greater than I. What he wants is more important than what I want. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now, look with me at verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So, there are only two masters. Remember Jesus said, no man can serve two masters? There are only two. It's either God or the devil. Which one is it in your life? No man can serve what? Two masters. Which one are you serving? Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye, what's that next word? Were. What does that word indicate? Past tense. Ye were the servants of sin. When were you the servants of sin? Before you got saved. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart. When did you do that? When you got saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. You believed the gospel. You trusted the gospel. You were saved, and at that instant, you became a servant of righteousness. You became the servant of Jesus Christ. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Verse 20. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, but now being made free from sin, no longer a servant of sin, and become servants to God. Whose servant are you now? God's. Ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. When I got saved as an 8-year-old boy, I became his servant. Have I always been faithful as a servant? No. But I've always been his servant. Sometimes faithful and sometimes unfaithful, but always his servant. You can't go back and forth. You either are or you're not. You're either saved or you're not. And if we're saved, we're his servant. And if we're his servant, what should we do? Sir, and God has rewards for those who faithfully serve Him. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy. Into the joy. The point I wanted to make tonight was this. We're not like the world. We are, as the Bible says, a peculiar people. We're different. We think differently. We're motivated differently. We behave differently because of who we are. I'm 74 years old. And I know you don't believe that. I know I don't look that old. Some guy told me the other day he thought I was 60. I handed him a quarter. It was all I had in my pocket was a quarter. But at 74, I don't have much time left. I don't know how much time I have left. But whatever time I have, I want Him to have it. I want to be used of Him. And whatever time you have, I don't know how much time you have. And neither do you know how much time you have. But whatever time we have, we ought to give to Him. Lock, stock, and barrel, boots, bag, and bag. You've heard those terms, haven't you? Huh? Give it all to Him. And I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God, you'll never regret it. There's a song. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Y'all know that song? Some of you do, some. You don't know how many good songs you've missed out on. I wish we had more of them. Maybe over time we'll learn more of them. But there's so many good songs. I think of another. From the dust of the earth, my God created man. His breath made man a living soul. And I don't know the rest of the words. Having a senior moment, ask me 5 minutes from now, I can go through the whole verse with you. But it says, I was made in His likeness, created in His image, for I was born to serve the Lord. That's why I was born. And if you're born again, that's why you were born. For that very reason. To serve Him. Just to serve Him. Give Him your best. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, who died upon a cruel tree? You know that song? Some of you. I hope you learn them. In time, hopefully we'll get a new song book. It's got a lot of the songs, old songs in it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight.